to have the perfect relationship that works into my life, there has to be somebody special.
At Match.com, we want to help make it easier for you to get started in finding someone great. That's why you can now try Match.com free. That's right, get 7 days free and see who's out there for you. You can read profiles, view photos, and connect with people all free. Visit our exclusive website for this limited time offer. Go to TryMatch.com. That's TryMatch.com and get 7 days of Match free.
Match opens up incredible possibilities to meet people that you never would have met without it.
Getting on Match, it was so easy. I thought, what have I been waiting on?
This exclusive offer is for a limited time only, so visit TryMatch.com now. That's TryMatch.com. One in five relationships now begins online. Why not let yours be one of them?
First dates are more exciting than anything. I thought, you know, why not?
And for a limited time only, Match is giving you 7 days free. Visit TryMatch.com for details. That's TryMatch.com. Join today.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're glad to have you back with us on this semi-beautiful Sunday. Real quick, I want to make sure everybody knows, yesterday we were down at Early Mountain Vineyard in Madison, Virginia. I'll just drop a name that happens to be Steve Case's Vineyard. You remember him? Remember AOL? Yeah, that's him. Anyways, we are doing our show live from there. We're pre-recording the show for the following Sunday, but on Saturday, March 24th, we're going to be there.
23rd.
Is that what that day is?
It is.
Whatever. That's Saturday. What do I know? We're going to be apparently not much. We're going to be down there recording the show. They've got their first annual Oyster Fest.
Yes.
And just go to earlymountain.com. You can see what's going on. It's really going to be a hoot.
Well, can I just say, having never been to the facility before, it is magnificent.
It puts Disney World in the ground. It's so much.
Why would you compare it to Disney World?
I'm saying
it's elegant and so sophisticated. It's such a beautiful, beautiful location.
Because I'm a child at heart.
Okay, good. All right. I'm going to let you go on.
Our first guest sitting to my left is the stunningly beautiful and very talented chef, Patty Heenich. She's the star of the popular public television show, Patty's Mexican Table. And she's just published her new cookbook. It's called Patty's Mexican Table.
It's so beautiful. I can't wait to talk about it with her.
We're going to be talking about fresh ingredients and regional specialties.
Mm-hmm.
And then thereafter on the phone, we're going to have a guy named Ricardo Mark on the phone with us. There's a big Burgundy versus Barolo smackdown coming up Monday in Baltimore. And some of the world's best of each are going to be going head-to-head. The leader of the Italian contingent is Richard Mark, who's with Bene di Battasiolo.
That's why I let you
wines.
Do it, because I can't pronounce
Bene.
It.
Why not? But we're going to be talking world-class Barolos, Nebbiolo grapes, how it all comes together, and how Ricardo expects to kick some Burgundy butt.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Brian Sippen from DGS is in studio. You could probably voice an opinion in while we're on the phone with him.
I love them both.
Okay. Well, you can keep your opinions to yourself or you can share with everybody else. Stop egging me on. I can take my
time if I want to.
Okay, so there is a hot new cigar lounge in town. Actually, I think it's one of only a few cigar lounges. Three. Yeah, there's not a lot of cigar lounges in town, but there is a hot new one. It's just opened up in Chevy Chase right next to Range, and it is called Civil Cigar Lounge. I've been there a couple times, although I do not smoke cigars. And we're going to get a whole education from John Anderson, one of the co-owners, all about it.
Right? Okay. Am I next?
Yes, go ahead.
Hot diggity dog. All right. Grow Your Health is a project of the Northern Virginia Whole Foods Nutrition Group. And on March 10th, they're at Woodson High School in Fairfax. They're hosting the first annual Grow Your Health Conference, Food Documentary, and Wellness Festival. It's going to feature all sorts of info about how to eat better, to live better organically. One of the creators, Carmel Deckel Weissman. Did I do that right? Look at me. Russell Furbush and Chef Benedict Zappone are in to tell us all about it. How about that?
You did a really good job.
I did, didn't I? Okay. You say Zappone or Zappone?
Zappone.
Oh, well, you're Zappone today. Okay.
And then, as we do on every show, we always have a cocktail segment. Today, we've got cocktails and wine. And as I said, we have DGS, the new delicatessen down below DuPont Circle. Brian Zippin is in studio, and he's brought in his lead bartender, Raquel Fowler. And they are going to be doing cocktails and wine pairings with some of the foods.
I should add, we're going to be at 2 o'clock. We'll be down there doing a birthday party.
Yes, we will.
For our son, Jason.
But more importantly, we're going to be tasting things in studio. I don't think a lot of people think deli and wine or cocktails. It's sort of a new way of enjoying that kind of food. So, Brian, why don't we just start with you?
Is that focaccia deli in that regard?
It's a little focaccia.
Yeah, you need to get in front of the mic. Okay. Get in front of the mic.
It's a little focaccia, but that's okay. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't think of delicatessen or Jewish American, Eastern European food with wine.
Wine. You got to be in front of that mic.
But we came up with a couple things that are really interesting and fun. The first thing I think we're going to be tasting is we're going to do a Lambrusco with our corned beef and pastrami.
Okay. Well, let's back up a little bit. Can you give everybody a – I mean, we did have Barry Koslov, your chef,
yep.
And
Nick Wiseman,
both on the show, you know, months before the restaurant was ready to open, just to talk about what they wanted to do and the style of cuisine. But for people who may have missed that show, can you give us a little 411 on the restaurant and what people can look at?
Sure. So we're down on DuPont Circle South on Connecticut Avenue. Mm-hmm. Barry Koslow is the chef, and is a great chef, and is from Washington D.C. and has worked in some great kitchens here. Nick Wiseman and David Wiseman are the owners of the restaurant, and we're trying to kind of reinvent delicatessen food, Jewish American food, Eastern European food, and bring different influences to that food and turn people on to delicatessen food, which has kind of been hard in Washington, D.C.
It's been very hard. I mean, people always complain that there's no delis in town.
And well, there are.
No, but the truth is that when there are delis in town, they're either not good or people don't go to them. So you have to find the right balance to make it a successful business.
Right. And we kind of wanted to take a different angle, which is why we included a beverage program and a full dinner menu of composed plates, as well as your classic corned beef sandwiches and roast turkey and chopped liver and crepe lock.
The chopped liver is delicious.
All right, well, speaking of what you're pouring, what are you pouring first?
So we are pouring a Cleto Chiarli Lambrusco, who is the oldest Lambrusco producer in Italy. So Lambrusco is that, you know, northern part of Italy, Emilia Romagna.
That's where Benedetto's from.
Really?
Am I right? Well, recently. I mean, originally.
Generations removed.
Generations.
I have a glass of Lambrusco.
There
you go. I should be like a dating service, I think, and just pulling people together.
I know. You're so good. You're like an incredible networker.
Yes. Harmony. David.
All right. Well, go ahead and pour.
But there's like a line here, because, you know, delicatessen gets a bad rap and Lambrusco gets a bad rap.
I know. Did you see me? Like, when you say Lambrusco, I'm like, okay.
Right. So most people think of Lambrusco in the 70s and 80s. It was the biggest selling wine in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people kind of reimagined it and went back to its old roots. And this is a dry Lambrusco. It's done just like champagne.
All right. Let's spread it around.
Can we taste?
Yes, please.
I'm going to turn to the lovely, effervescent Patty Heenich to talk about this new book. Last time you were in, it was still a kind of a baby in the oven, and now here it is, and it's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. You guys are making me flush and flush and flush.
Well, I'm all about flushing.
Okay.
So,
if you only knew how true that really was.
Frequently, you know how that is. That was actually pretty good.
Thank you.
Every 6 months, she surprises me. All right, so let's talk. I mean, what I'm seeing looking through here. Is a lot of ingredients that are very familiar
exactly
to me as a, you know, I mean, meatball American. Well, I'm saying, in other words, they're not things in here. It's not, you know, when you think about Mexican food, you think you're going to get some exotic ingredients, but everything in here is very, you know, it's on our table at home and it's on the table in restaurants.
Two things about what you're saying. One is, one of the things that I wanted to do with this book is show people just how normal Mexican food is. I mean, people think about Mexican food as being extremely laborious or, you know, Tex-Mex greasy. And I wanted to show just how close Mexican homestyle food is to American homestyle comfort food. So that's what you know, you see there many things that are familiar. And also, the other thing that I think you haven't noticed is how Mexican ingredients have now become American staples.
Well, that's very
so
true.
So you're telling me that things are familiar, you know, avocado, or the photo with the salsas, ancho chiles, jicama, tomatillos, they're not so foreign anymore.
Well, that's funny because 20 years ago, I'd never heard of yuca, but we eat yuca with some regularity. And
well, I think there's that, but I do think there is, I mean, and I cook a lot and I have over, you know, 1,000 cookbooks and I love to, you know, try new things. But I think Mexican cuisine is a little intimidating because, A, people do confuse Tex-Mex styles, which can be greasy and unsatisfying. With
but delicious.
I love me a combo platter. I'm going to San Antonio this week.
With
I can't
cigar
wait
and
to.
A sombrero. Come on.
But, you know, so I think the question is, I mean, of course, people can watch your show, but in using this cookbook, how do you, expect people, how do you want to guide people through your book?
Well, I love telling stories. As you guys know, I'm a chatterbox.
Could you just be quiet?
Jeez.
I love telling stories, and what I like to do, and I do that in my classes too, is I like to share recipes, but I love to tell the background and the stories and the legends and, you know, the myths behind ingredients and dishes so that when you go into your kitchen and cook, it's not just, oh, I have to put dinner on the table. You know, you have all of these, I'm giving you food, not just to eat, but to talk about with your kids, with your family. It's all these fascinating stories that make food even more wonderful than magical when you're doing it because it connects us all.
You keep slapping my arm.
I even talked
to my food. So
I always ask for an apology because I talk a lot with my, you see, I use my hands a lot. Sorry, I'm doing it again. I have a...
Does it feel like there's any muscle tone?
I come from a family of four sisters. And we're all the time, we're touching each other. We're like rubbing each other's hair, rubbing each other's hands, you know, and it's...
I just hope you wash your hands.
But it's a cultural thing. In Mexico, I think people are very warm. And you can see when people say hi. I remember when I first moved to Dallas and my husband used to introduce me to people when he first started working in a very American company full of American people. He was the only Mexican. And he would introduce me to people and I would come up, you know, straight and say hi and give people a kiss. And people were like, whoa.
I know, we're so upset.
Well, she's
in
hot. That's what they'd say. All right, I want to get back to your book because one thing I don't usually think about except for, you know, maybe a cold soup here or there is soups. There are a lot of soups in there.
Soups and salads.
Talk to me
and
about
vegetables.
Soups.
Mexico has just a treasure trove of fabulous soups, cold, hot. I mean, you have, I have a classic avocado soup, which has four ingredients. It's incredible. It's luxurious.
Okay, avocado,
it's silky.
Water. What's the other?
Avocado, chicken broth. Then you have all the garnishes. In Mexico, we love to just dress up things. Then we have, you know, a home-style pasta soup, in like an alphabet soup.
Right.
But there's tricks to giving flavor in the Mexican way. Then we have the one-stop meals, the pozoles, you know, which you have everything in there. I have potato and leek. I have a beautiful, superb, silky, creamy chipotle and vanilla soup.
But see, the beauty of this is but everybody's going to recognize every one of those ingredients. You know, you say potato and leek. Nora's been selling those dried out potato and leek soups for 100 years. I mean, that's something that people can relate to.
Yes, it is. But I think what's more important is how you're presenting it in this cookbook. What I think what people want to learn is how to make it well. And, you know, the simplicity of it. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's very, very important. So as you were putting the book together, how did you sort of, given all your knowledge and how much you know about the Mexican cooking cultures, how did you decide what was going to make it in and what didn't? What were you looking to share?
It was the home-style, easy recipes that anybody can make. And what I did is really streamline the recipes and tweak them. I mean, I tweaked, you know, I tested hundreds of times to get to the easiest recipe that would respect the soul of the dish, but would make it very easy and accessible to any cook.
Okay. Good.
What about, well, real quick, because you got about 30 seconds on this.
Don't do that to me. I love talking.
What about your ingredients? I mean,
what about her ingredients?
Do you advise people to find purely organic, you know, produce?
She's just like, no.
Apparently not. I think, I mean, of course organic is wonderful, but I grow my own things.
We have a whole crew here behind you that is going to, like, fight you.
They're
going to
stab
you. Are you kidding?
They're going to stab her with organic, organic knives.
Wait. Patty, wait.
Did you say organic?
We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we can talk about that
a little bit more. If you're still alive, when we come back.
I'm going to fight you to the ground with this organic thing.
David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Union Market is the new year-round food market with over 40 vendors. It's DC's new spot for local taste and style. Union Market is composed of the finest food artisans, all creating a unique culinary experience. Check out their $7 lunch specials and primetime libations, Union Market's Thursday and Friday happy hours. Union Market is on 5th Street Northeast, just off Florida Avenue, with lots of free parking. Also get there on Metro's Red Line to Noma Gallaudet. Union Market's open Wednesdays through Sundays. For hours or info, visit unionmarketdc.com.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis and the effervescent Patty Heenich.
I'm trying to survive.
From Patty's Mexican Table. But we were talking about ingredients. So, I didn't see that in the book. I don't know if it's there. Do you tell people what to do? Where to get their stuff?
Yeah, I tell people what I try to tell people is to be adventurous and bring into their kitchens ingredients that they haven't tried before. Mm-hmm. And I try to show them, you know, if you're going to bring in a tomatillo, let's talk about the tomatillo. I mean, who knows here what a salsa verde is made of?
Tomatillos.
Right. Okay. Do you know how to make a salsa verde? I mean, you buy it canned, you buy it in a jar. Do you know how to make it? It's the simplest thing. You boil the tomatillos with some chili and some garlic, put it in a blender, throw in some cilantro, maybe some onion, you're done. Mm-hmm. It takes 10 minutes.
We've got cumin.
No.
It's so great that you asked that because in Mexico we use, and Mexican cooks use cumin very judiciously. I mean, just a pinch. And it's in some things, not in guacamole, please. And not in salsa verde. Cumin is one of those ingredients.
You just, like, started a real, like, a fire here. She's like, cumin!
I mean, just in very few things, especially, like, in stews and moles and things like that. And cumin is a kind of ingredient that when you use just a little bit,
it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. It brings an interesting spin to a dish. And when you put in a lot, it just drags down the dish. You know, it's when you hear somebody play, you know, singing opera, you add a pinch, it's like, alto, beautiful, and you put a lot and it's like drags down the dish. It's, but I think many people think
you
about
should
Mexican
have a TV
food.
Show.
She does have a TV show.
I know.
But no, I'm talking about fresh ingredients, you know, poblano chilies. People think about chilies and you think about a spicy ingredient, right? Poblano chilies are really like a vegetable. So mm-hmm. I like to show people, you know, this is a huge chili. They're gorgeous, sensuous, green, pulpy, meaty. And they're more like vegetables with a lot of personality. They're barely spicy. Mm-hmm. So trying to show people chilies are not always spicy. Salsas are not always spicy. So I'm trying to motivate.
I hate to do this.
No, don't.
But I want to promo the book. Don't look at me like that. Looks like a dog about being.
You can stay and you can talk about the show.
So Patty's Mexican Table is on PBS, but Patty's Mexican Table can also be on your coffee table.
It comes out Tuesday, yes.
Thank you, guys.
Available everywhere and online.
Are you still everywhere? Are you? We have to go, but are you doing a book tour?
I'm doing a book tour, heading to New York, then Texas. I'm going to be in Central Market, and then I'm coming back to D.C.
Will you let us know where you're going to be, please?
Absolutely.
That would be terrific. Yes. Okay. Thanks, Patty.
Well, all right, Brian, let's go back to you and Raquel.
All right. The Liver's
I know
good
you love your
good.
Champagne, and I know you love your sparkling wine.
I do.
Oh
this
my
was
God.
Good.
So this was really brought for you.
Thank you very much. But it was very good, and
this
I like the balance.
With nuts.
What are you eating? Brian, what's he
that
eating?
That is the smoked salmon tartare.
Holy mackerel.
We have Montreal bagels that we get shipped in from Montreal, Saint-Viateur.
Why Montreal bagels?
They're a little bit more delicate. They have
Are they less sweet?
It doesn't come off on the palate as sweet, but they are a little sweeter than a regular bagel.
Oh, okay,
bagel.
Interesting.
They're also thinner, and they're more delicate, so when you put smoked salmon on the bagel, the smoked salmon kind of comes up front, and it doesn't. You know, when you have a big bagel with all this dough, it overpowers the smoked salmon.
Okay.
You know, so we do our salmon in house. You know, we get it from British Columbia,
right?
Cold smoked in house. So we wanted to really kind of have that flavor.
So is that your salmon?
That is our salmon.
It's really delicious
with the oven baked like bagels, which we make little crispies on. We put on top for some crunch and some texture.
And what are you serving with that?
Okay, so the reason why the Lambrusco is so good with the corned beef and the pastrami is because if you think of Emilia Romagna, they have prosciutto and they have all those sliced meats.
Right, that's
true. So it
true.
Makes sense. It's a good correlation. With the smoked salmon, we do a Finger Lakes Riesling from Cayuga Lake.
Oh, we've been there.
Yep, beautiful, beautiful area.
Which is it? Whose is it?
It is Ravine.
Okay.
Which is... Eric Asimov in the New York Times spotlighted this vineyard.
This is a nice Riesling.
It's beautiful.
Because normally they're like sticky and...
No, yeah, yeah. Like it's kind of like an Alsatian style.
Right.
You can get this at $9 a glass. That's unbelievable.
Okay.
Well, guys, I'm going to jump in. Speaking of wines, Ricardo, are you there? He's not there. Bummer.
Oh.
All right, well, that's what I thought. We were supposed to have Ricardo Mark on the phone. He's with Benny de Battasiolo Wines, and they're part of the big... Barolo Burgundy Smackdown in Baltimore. We're trying to get him back on.
But okay, well, then let's move on to Civil Lounge.
Let's move on to John Anderson and Civil Cigar Lounge. See, we got so many people in here. We got utility players. We got. Can you play the outfield, John?
I can do whatever.
Awesome. Great. Utility. All right. So let's get started. I mean, we've been to Civil. Give everybody kind of the paradigm. The Civil paradigm.
The Civil paradigm. So... we are a brand new cigar lounge in Washington, D.C., opened up in the Chevy Chase Pavilion at the corner of Western and Wisconsin Avenue in Friendship Heights.
Okay, I think you need to explain that further, because of all the places in the D.C. metro area to open a cigar lounge, Chevy Chase would not be the first place to pop into mind.
Chevy Chase wouldn't. But what the pavilion has done is undergone about a $60 million renovation and rebranding, of which you were there when they...
I was on the committee.
You were on it. So it's a brand new space.
She used to sleep in her hard hat. It was awesome. Very sexy. Yeah.
So it was part of that rebranding, part of that rejuvenation. I think what you're going to see is with... us being there, and as you know, Brian Voltaggio and Range being next door.
Name dropper. Sorry.
Yeah.
we already dropped Steve Case.
Okay.
So, I mean, come on.
Brian's next.
Right.
You're going to see kind of a rejuvenation and a destination point up in that neighborhood. And, you know, there's some new development going on up there, and we're part of that on the front side. And we're really excited about what's going on.
So let's walk people through... what this lounge is like. You have that brand new backlit staircase entrance that takes you up to the cigar lounge. Just give people sort of a 411 of what it's like in there.
Okay, so you can find our space either via the pavilion itself or our main entrance, which we share with Range, is the, like you said, the backlit staircase on Western Avenue next to the Embassy Suites. When you enter the space, we're a 5,500 square foot lounge.
First of all, coming up the stairway is like going to get your Oscar.
It's kind of like a Fred Astaire moment, isn't it?
It's very dramatic. It is.
It's an incredible Collective Architecture is the group that designed the space, mm-hmm. designed the stairwell for us. It really does make for a dramatic entrance.
Well, let's talk about cigars, because you and I talked when I was in there, and sure. I was saying that was what was difficult for me to understand, although I love the smell of cigars, because I do think they smell delicious. Mm-hmm. What I find difficult as a former smoker, mm-hmm. I don't understand not inhaling. Okay. So can you, brought in all these cigars today, can you explain what you're supposed to do with the cigar and what the differences is between the ones that you brought in?
Sure. So cigars are very much like wines, right? The growing regions, the blending.
Terroir. Right?
Correct.
It's David's new favorite word.
It sounds like terror, which sounds like marriage. Okay. Sorry.
So there are cigars for every palate, from mm-hmm. mild to, you know, a very full-bodied cigar. And depending on your mood, what you're drinking, even the time of day, can change what you decide to smoke. People oftentimes say, John, what's your favorite cigar? And it honestly, it's what am I doing at that time? Because mm-hmm. it could, you know, it's usually the cigar I'm smoking at that moment is my favorite cigar. You're right. You don't inhale a cigar. You take the smoke into your mouth and exhale a little through your nose without inhaling. And so what that does is your sense of smell really opens up, as you know, your sense of taste.
Right.
And so you're able to taste everything from there's a lot of spices in the tobacco. You can taste the there's cherry and hints of chocolate, and, mm-hmm. and depending on the tobaccos that are used in the cigars.
So when you went about, I know you have two other places,
two retail stores
that sell cigars. Mm-hmm. When you went about stocking your supply for your cigar lounge, like what are you looking to carry, and how many cigars do you have?
I mean, so we have close to 300 different cigars at the lounge.
Okay,
well over 1,000 in both of our retail stores. Mm-hmm. But what we were looking for is really, and when you come into the space, the first thing is you find our retail store, and we tried to lay it out from mild to full bodied.
Okay.
So it was an easy selection. You know, if you say, oh, I want something mild, well, let's look down here. So you mm-hmm. can direct someone in where they're.
Is that considered wimpy?
No.
Like,
no.
Go to the mild section or the wimps?
No, because, you know, a lot of women say, look, this is my first cigar. I'd like to try something that's mild.
But what about if you're a
very
manly
sexual,
man?
Doesn't it? It's my first cigar. Like, there's something.
I gotta leave the room.
And then I'm gonna let it come out my nose. I mean, the whole coming out my—that's so unsexy to me. Like, I don't like the thought of that. Do you know what I mean?
I'll tell you, a lot of guys would disagree with you, and they would find it very sexy.
Okay.
What we were really finding is we have
a
large.
A poll.
But since she's not in the market that I know of.
We're finding that, you know, well over 30% of our customers are women.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a lot of groups of women that are coming in that I don't recognize from either of our stores. They come in, they sit down, they have a cigar, they're drinking the scotches, they're drinking the bourbons, they're ordering wines, which my business partner, Matt Krim, was very diligent about selecting. And when he was choosing his wines, he was smoking cigars to try to find, you know, interesting
pairings.
Wines that paired well with cigars.
Complimentary.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I enjoy mild cigars. I enjoy full-bodied cigars. It just depends on, you know, where my palate is. It's kind of like eating.
All right, big question for
yes.
you. We got about 2 minutes before the break. Anybody who's ever been somewhere where a lot of cigars are being smoked knows that after a while you could die
mm-hmm.
if you don't get the hell out. Seriously. Fight Night's a perfect example. I mean, 1,600 people who know what I'm talking about if they're listening. And after about 10 o'clock, you can't breathe in there.
How do you
keep
filter the air?
Fresh?
How do you keep
you know,
fresh?
That's a very good question. And that was something that was very important
to us. I like
to ask
very good questions.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Because guys walk out, they think, wow, I smell like a cigar. I smell good. Women walk out and they say, I stink.
Right.
I mean, that's just a perception. So what we did was we created a system where we're not filtering the air. We're actually replacing 100% of the air in the space every 2 minutes. So we have all of our supply air comes from down on the ground.
I just had a visual of one of those airlocks.
Like I know.
Everybody, but that's not what happens, right?
That's not exactly what happens. But, you know, we wanted to make it a comfortable space because even as a cigar smoker, I want to enjoy it in a place that's not too smoky so that
well,
I can
know,
appreciate what I'm smoking.
Your eyes watering.
Your eyes watering.
Thing.
Or you go home and you get into bed and it's like, you know what, maybe I need to take a shower beforehand.
Right.
We wanted to avoid that because we wanted you to be able to come in and say, you know what, Nikki, I want to go have a cigar. And you sit down and she walks out and says, you know what, that was a great experience. I really liked it. It's not mm-hmm. what I think of when I think of a cigar bar. And we're really not a traditional cigar bar. We're very modern. We're very, you know, it's very comfortable. We have the traditional, you know, high back leather chairs in the wine room. That's when you think of cigars in DC,
mm-hmm.
you know, it it makes you think of that. But there are details in there, like the wallpaper with the skulls, that very much, you know, kind of give it an edge.
I mean, listen, I've been in there a couple times. It's certainly a lovely place, and I get the allure of it. I mean, that's why your guys are so crowded.
Are you getting Capitol Hill guys in there?
We're getting Capitol Hill guys.
All right. When you see Speaker Boehner, give him my number. I need to talk to him.
Okay. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll just have like another minute or two to talk to you. I'd love to talk about sort of the whole tradition of having a cigar, the clipping and the feeling it and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. All right. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Excellent.
You wouldn't drive your kids in the car without them wearing seatbelts, would you? So why leave them unprotected when you're gone? Learn about the latest techniques for maximizing your wealth and protecting your assets for your heirs. Join me, Wayne Zell, for Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I'm an estate planning attorney with Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Each week, we talk about how you can realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. That's Blueprint for Wealth, Saturdays at 10 a.m., right here on 1500 AM.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We've got John Anderson in here from Civil Cigar Lounge over at Friendship Heights. Quick question. It has a very private club kind of feel to it, and I didn't really know when I walked in. Is there any sort of private club facet to it, or can anybody come anytime?
Anybody and everybody is welcome as long as you are of age. We do have...
Maybe you could check my ID when I come in.
I will happily do that.
That would be awesome.
We have lockers for rent. We're not a private club. We do have lockers for rent. Then there are some benefits that go with that for the locker holders. But anybody and everybody is welcome.
All right. We have 1 minute. Can you just talk about, very quickly, just like the clipping and the, I don't know, what like the traditions of
the romance behind it? Because there is a lot of romance that goes with cigars, you know, and it starts with the selecting of it. And, you know, when the cigars are not in the cellophane, it's the look, it's the feel, it's the touch, it's you know, the smell of the cigar.
Right.
And there's several different ways you can cut it, a straight cut, a punch cut, which takes a little hole out of the back, or a V cut, which is kind of a notch. Mm-hmm. And then you lightly toast the foot to begin the process of lighting it. And then that first puff is going to give you a really nice, sweet, you know, really, you're going to get a good experience of what the cigar has to offer.
Okay.
Because a cigar will change as you go through it and you smoke it. It could change, you know, four or five times.
I'm going to jump in real quick. Civil Cigar Lounge is in Chevy Chase Pavilion at the corner of Wisconsin and Western
Avenues.
Maybe
you'll come back and give us like an education.
Yeah, I would love to.
Do you know what I mean? Walk us through it.
I would love to.
All right, John,
thank
you
for the invitation, guys.
Okay, finally, on the phone is Ricardo Mark. He's the U.S. and Canada Director of Sales and Marketing for Bene di Battasciolo Wines. Ricardo, are you there?
Buongiorno,
come va?
Benissimo.
You have a bunch of Italophiles here. So you're in a smackdown. Barolo's going up against Burgundy in Baltimore tomorrow. Tell us all about that.
Well, the idea is basically Jean-Charles Wasse, who is our importer for Vino di Battasciolo in the U.S., had decided to, you know, compare the Burgundy styles of the Barolo wines. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of things in common. History, you know, we go from the 1800s by King Vittorio Emanuele all the way, you know, to today. Barolos and Burgundies.
So in this smackdown, what are you looking to accomplish here between the two wines?
There is two key things over here. Basically, the relation of the history, how, you know, we get influenced. Piemonte is the area that has been more influenced by France for the past, you know, 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you think at the beginning of the history in the 1800s, you know, Italy was divided. Piemonte and Sardinia was the wealthiest countries in the world in the northern part of Italy. And then you have Venice and you have Rome that was controlled by the Vatican.
Don't forget Firenze, my friend.
Firenze was there, you know, but it was as powerful as Piemonte and Sardinia. That was the wealthy. So we decided to merge with France. We support France when they went to work into Russia. And just to us to be able to get help from France to be freedom and becoming basically unification of Italy in the late 1800s. So that's where it started. And then, you know, the cultivation of the fruit. The first, you know, the first winemaker who became, you know, famous in the Piemonte for the Barolo was a French, you know, Riodel, who came with the Conde de Cabourg and start planting the Nebbiolo and trying to build a style of wine that it will be appreciated by everybody.
All right, so let me jump in, if you don't mind, Ricardo. Let's tell everybody about the Smackdown. It's at Orioles Park tomorrow, yes. Correct?
Tomorrow, yes. Okay.
Well, can we talk a little bit about your wines? Because...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm at the airport.
I know That's you okay. are. I know you are. Let's talk about the style of wines that you're doing. We have two Barolos here in a Barbera. Can you talk a little bit about the style of the wines?
Well, the Barbera that you have is more of the classic style Barberas of the area. We consider the Barbera the everyday wine of Italy. So that's the wine that every time you have lunch or dinner, everybody can have it because it was affordable, it is easy. The Barbera is a grape that grows almost everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The Barbera that you have has 9 months in French barrique and 1 year in a bottle. So it's a Barbera with the oldest vines that we have. They're around 30 to 45 years old.
Okay.
The production is a little bit less. Has a rich, more powerful structure in your palate, and it's a Barbera you can actually age. That's the beginning. Barbera, you drink it within the first 3 years of the harvest. This wine is actually going out to the market after 2 years. So you have 10 years at least of life into it.
Okay, so a Barbera will last about 10 years?
A Barbera Superiore.
Okay.
Two type of Barbera. The regular Barbera, you usually drink it within the first 3 years.
Oh, okay.
So our vines, they're between 10 to 15 years old, is very fruit forward, higher acidity sometimes. The Barbera Superiore is a Barbera you can actually age, no more than 10 years. You always have to have that fruit forward on the nose. The Barbera Superiore has always had a higher acidity and a longer finish.
Okay, and then we have these two Barolos here. We have a 2004 and a 2007. And talk to us a little bit about the differences between the two.
Okay, one of the 2004 is a single cru Barolo. The same.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the Barolo, there is 11 areas of production of Barolo. Within these areas, you have sub-appellation. The Barolo that you have, and it's a single vineyard Barolo from Serra Lunga de Alba. This mm-hmm. is Boscareto. Very small production. It's only 3.2 hectares of land. It's located in the highest elevation of the vineyards. The Nebbiolo grape only grows no higher than 500 meters over sea level or below 220.
Okay.
So this is in the richest area of production of Barolo. The difference is a Barolo that is from the one a particular area, one soil, one terroir, one exposure of the hills. The 2007 is actually a combination of 9 different vineyards that we have within the area. So you have Monforte, Serra Lunga, Barolo, La Mora, different elevation, different soil. You have calcareous clay, limestone from Serra Lunga. It's a Barolo that we have created, honestly, to be able to drink it without having to wait too long.
Okay.
As you know, we are not patient anymore. People in the older time, my grandpa and my father used to have more patience than me. You know, then they can wait for things to happen. In this day and age, you know, we have the phones, the internet. We want everything now. We want to know now, and we want to enjoy ourselves at this moment. So that's why even the Barolo has changed. You know, you talk about sometimes the old style production of Barolos and the new style. And the new style is Barolos that are more approachable. You don't have to wait too long. Always, you know, have the rich, peppery, licorice nose with a long finish mm-hmm. without being overpowering your palate. That is the idea.
So now at this SmackDown tomorrow, is it Barolo's against Burgundy completely, or are you pouring the Barbera?
No, it's only going to be Barolo's.
Just the Barolo's, okay.
Yeah, Barolo's against Pinot Noir.
Okay, terrific.
Well, let's tell people how they can find out about it.
Okay, go ahead.
Is there a website where we can get information?
Wow. You got me over there.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, you know what? We can check the list. Go
yes,
to the list
can.
Are you on it.com. We'll have all the information there for anybody that wants to attend the SmackDown. Ricardo, thanks very much. Don't miss your plane, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good time.
Right. Thank you.
Some Barolo wine.
Yes, right, thank you very much.
Okay. Well, at least we got him on the phone.
Yes, we did.
So,
Let's go back to Brian.
Brian, guys, what are you pouring?
What do we got here?
You have, well, this is...
This is Raquel. Raquel, you want to step to the mic?
Raquel, say hello.
Say hello, Raquel.
They don't like it when I talk.
Oh.
this is our Mensch cocktail. It's kind of like a twist on an old-fashioned with muddled blood orange, a little bit
Yum.
Of simple syrup, some bitters, and Old Overholt rye.
Now, did you and Brian work together on the cocktails, or is this the cocktails all yours?
We collaborate okay. together.
And who came up with all the names?
We wanted to have fun with the mm-hmm. names. You know what I mean? We wanted to have a serious cocktail program, but we wanted to have fun. So we all kind of pitch in. We had a cocktail called Hello Gorgeous, which is, I think, the first line of Funny Girl.
Right. But you have to say it right. Hello Gorgeous.
Hello Gorgeous. Gorgeous. with smoked orange juice. What else do we have? We have...
The Meshuggah,
which is just came off.
Is there an Oy Vey? Because I really want that
Not
one.
Not yet.
Or a Beklempt.
Nikki, if you want to name a cocktail, now's the time.
Now's the time. I'm going to have to get I'm on the spot.
She doesn't speak Yiddish.
I don't know if I'm going to put the Shiksa on next.
Wait, you know what? If you come up with something called the Schmendrick, I will be very happy.
The Schmendrick.
Yeah, it's a village idiot.
Don't dare me.
All right, so that was delicious. All right, you're going to mix up one more while we move on. We're going to talk about health and wellness. So
yeah, health and wellness with cigars.
Right.
And Patty telling us that we don't need organic. Now we can launch into
All
it. Let's
right,
go
so
on.
We've got Dr. Carmel Dekel-Weissman, Russell Furbush, and Chef Benedict Zappone.
Eat.
Mm-hmm. Who are among the members of Grow Our Health, a project in Northern Virginia. It's the Northern Virginia Whole Foods Nutrition Group. And essentially, they're doing an event on March the 10th called the Health and Wellness Convention. Yeah.
Festival.
It's a festival.
It's not a convention. It's a festival.
Festive.
It's even
right.
better. But it's a whole gathering of people who can tell you how to eat better and live better.
Well, let's talk about how it got started.
And I'm going to eat some of Chef Zappone's food here to find out how it tastes better.
Doctor, let's hear it.
Sure, absolutely. Last summer, I saw a film in D.C. called Inorganic We Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so impressed with how the film really gave us a sense of what is organic food? I learned things I never knew about organic food. I thought organic food was the best thing for you, mm-hmm. no matter how it was made. And so I saw the film and I said, more people need to see this message. It also gives practical solutions for how to do things like grow your own food, community gardens, backyard gardening, urban gardening. It was really incredible. And so I kind of basked for a few months with the idea, and I knew I had to put myself into a leadership program to actually have it be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
So I put myself into a leadership program at Landmark Education, and mm-hmm. then I launched this program in November.
You're a driven woman.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive.
Thank you.
I knocked the headphones right off.
I know. I was like, wow, that's impressive. And they go flying off. So in any case, I was very driven by listening to my patients talk about that, you know, well, eating organic is too expensive. And mm-hmm. I just realized that people don't know, first of all, the power they have to grow their own food. As a child, we had a garden. I don't really know much about gardening, but there are people here with me today that are going to teach us how to make it really easy.
Well, I mean, we need help with that because honestly, I know Russell's here.
That's Russell's
Russell,
thing.
You're going to walk
My
us
thing.
Through it.
Look at
first
him.
Of all, we have two enormous dogs. That is one of our biggest issues.
Yeah, but he can't tell us how to keep our dogs.
No,
out of
I know,
garden.
But it's still an issue. I'm sure he has to deal with it when he's putting together gardens for people. And we also both have black thumbs. And I'm totally into the food industry. I mean, I'm all about eating healthy and sustainable, and we compost. I mean, we're trying to do what's right. But I do believe that growing your own garden and growing some of your own food is the next step. So how do you help people with that?
Well, we provide design and installation services. So whether people are living in a condominium or have a suburban home, mm-hmm. we can help them find what they can garden, where they can garden. And we do a lot of education for folks, mm-hmm. and we try to make organic gardening easy. And I believe that, you know, growing your own food is the ultimate local and sustainable mm-hmm. and the best quality and mm-hmm. freshness. And I just think it's the future of food.
So when people want to have their own garden, what do you find, like, what do you advise people to grow? What are those, like, is it just carrots and lettuce? I mean, what do you, how do you start somebody off with a garden?
Well, herbs are important, but mm-hmm. then it's a site-specific according to how much sunlight is available and what their interests are, the kind of food we survey before we service the client. We survey what their interests in food and different plants are, and then beauty is involved. We can put blueberries in the front yard, and they turn lovely colors in the fall and attract a lot of beautiful insects to the garden. We just have a – we'd like to see a transformed suburban D.C. area where we have less lawn and more food and fruit and vegetables.
You'll be making a trip to Kensington,
Maryland.
I know.
Maryland, I love that. That sounds wonderful.
All right, we're gonna take a break.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Chef, who's going to tell us a little bit about some of the food he prepared today.
Food.
He
it's
is
delicious.
Eating it. All right.
It's
this is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be
dipping.
Healthy in studio. We'll be right back.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time.
What's going on? June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
For those of you who like to check your connection speed, you can go to broadbandreports.com. You can get their speed test. You can test your upload and download speed. I like to do that periodically. Sometimes my Fios download speed gets up to 16 megabits per second, but this morning I had 10 down and 3 up. And you've got 60 megabits per second. I'd love to have that kind of bandwidth, but 60 could be overkill. But I'd say anything more than 30 is probably not worth the money.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Okay, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. And before we get back to our guests, I just want to thank all the sponsors that make this show possible. If you're not a sponsor, don't be embarrassed. Just get on board. Stroke that check. Damn it. All right. So, our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's Rustico, Evening Star, Tallulah Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, Church Key, and Arcadia, the Great Arcadia, which is the organic farm. Mm-hmm. The two founding farmers, Farmer Fisher Baker, our friends at Union Market, the Black's Restaurant Group, Post at the Monica Hotel in the mm-hmm. Kempton, the Carpenter Shelter, and Early Mountain Vineyards, where we'll be live on March 23rd.
And we'll be live at the Carpenter Shelter big event
right,
on March
April.
28th.
Was it March 28th?
Mm-hmm. And then we're live at Edgar and the new restaurant at the Mayflower Hotel on April 7th.
You know, that's the beauty about being married. I just go where I'm told, and I don't have to remember anything. So let's get back. Chef. We really didn't get a chance to talk to you. You made a couple of wraps here that are delicious. Let's talk about...
And some hummus.
Yeah, the hummus is great, too. Let's mm-hmm. talk about ingredients. I mean, it's, you know, when you think about organic produce and it's coming up from the ground, it's raw, fresh, but it has no... It's not it doesn't accompany anything else. Let's talk about how you put your ingredients together to put something on the table that tastes good and is good for you.
Well, one of the things I learned a long time ago is, you know, you it's a path you start to get on. You can't just go all organic and be there and think it's going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. But what I started to do is, you know, instead of, you know, I stayed away from the middle of the grocery stores, start shopping around the outside. And then from there, I stopped buying the meats and the dairy, and right. I went to the farm to get that. And I go to the farmers markets to get the produce. You know, the organic thing is a big deal for me because, you know, we keep putting all this stuff on top of the produce, and it just gets absorbed, and then we eat it, and then it's right. going into our bodies. Now, granted, I understand, you know, we can't be we just try each day to get closer and closer to that beautiful way of living. I grew up on a farm, and the first when we moved to the city, I was 13. I rode my bike to the grocery store to get some steak for my mom. I was going to make her dinner. I'd been a chef for a long time, and it just didn't taste the same. And I came to the realization. She says, "That's the way meat tastes now, son," and it was heartbreaking. I found Elaine Boland at Fields of Athenry Farm, and when I was at LeBerge Provençal as the executive chef, I started to get all my product from her. And it just tastes better. It's got so much more nutrition than the meat you're getting at the grocery store.
I assume you're talking about grass-fed, pasture-raised,
yes.
right?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah,
that's
we,
what
we
we're talking about.
We don't finish on grain.
Right.
It's humanely raised. There's no GMOs. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, the lamb and the sheep and the cows, they're out just grazing. That's and the chickens and the pigs, that's what it should be.
So will you be at Grow Your Health? And
I will be.
And then what will you be doing there?
We're going to serve a selection of food. We're going to have these same lamb wraps that we have here
which
today.
Are delicious, by the way.
We also going to have some vegetarian options. Mm-hmm. The hummus will be there, as well as behind you is a nice fennel salad. Mm-hmm. It's a fennel baby arugula tossed with a nice lemon vinaigrette. Very simple to what Patty was saying. You don't need a whole lot of ingredients. You don't want to muddle flavors. You just want that nice, clean, crisp. You want texture and flavor.
Great. All right. Well,
what about the chili?
The
lamb and beef stew. Yes, we're going to sample that here in a second. I got it warming up.
Dr. Weissman, why don't you tell people what they can expect at this this festival? I'm sorry, we keep calling it a conference, but what can people look to?
Festival is
it sounds
fun.
Better.
Conference
it sounds fun.
Is serious. Yes,
but we want people to have. But it is a serious topic. I mean, what you're tackling is very serious.
Well, absolutely. I will be in conference at the festival.
Okay, right there, you go. Well. The festival starts at noon, and people can come in and register and get some of the yummy food. And we're going to actually start the screening at 1 p.m. sharp. Mm-hmm. And that'll go till about 2:30. And then from about 2:30 till about 3:30, people will have a chance to mull around. We have about 30 exhibitors, really amazing exhibitors, like, for example, Nissan is going to be bringing their new 2013 Leaf, which I am such a fan of. In fact, I own one.
Do you really?
I do. I love my all-electric vehicle. I haven't bought gas since May.
Really?
Yes, I love it.
That is very,
I know,
very
don't
cool.
Don't hate me because I don't buy gas.
That's amazing.
So
I think that's cool.
Yeah,
I just got gas.
Uh-oh. And Moms is also another one of our sponsors.
Right, great market.
The Fields of Athenry Farm is one of our sponsors, and mm-hmm. Prior Unity Garden, you heard from Russell.
Right. Right, bring your black thumb, because that's perfect. We want to grow gardeners who can grow soil.
Yep,
we grow the food that tastes the best.
We're going to walk in and everything's just going to turn.
They're going to turn your thumb from black to green.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, so
right.
Give everybody the last shout out to where they can find information and how they can come to this event.
Absolutely. By the way, there will be classes too from 3:30 to 4:30 and mm-hmm. a food panel discussion. So people have a choice between the panel or six classes. And if you go to the website www.grow-your-health.info. You can get tickets. We request that you pre-register so that we make sure that there's enough food for everyone.